While the current incarnation of the state's government watchdog, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics, is not long for this world, the embattled agency is going after one of its chief critics before its time on Planet Albany expires. To explain who and what's involved with this drama, we're joined by the tallest state investigative reporter in New York, the Times Union's Chris Bragg. Welcome back to the Capitol, Chris.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
I'm good.
So for starters, this story involves David Grandow, a familiar player at the Capitol for decades now. Can you explain to the listeners who he is?
Yeah, so he's a person who's been around Albany for a long time. He started out, I believe, in local Republican politics, was kind of a protege of former Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno. And then in the mid-90s, became the executive director of the State Lobbying Commission, did that job for 12 years and proved himself to be actually a very independent kind of ferocious regulator who actually ended up sort of crossing Joe Bruno and doing stuff that led to his indictment. So kind of a unique person in the Albany ethics firmament in that they kind of transcended the sort of partisanship that we often see in these kinds of positions.
And would you describe David Grandow as a cuddly guy who gets along well with other people and really just plays nice?
To people that he's not on friendly terms with, he is a pain, to say the least. He ran this blog about Jacob for a long time where he very aggressively and mockingly made fun of staffers and commissioners and has done a lot of things over the years to put his foot in his mouth a little bit. And so he's a very smart person, got a lot of strengths, but being overly nice towards certain people is not probably one of them. So,
and you quoted him in your most recent story about this by saying, quote, "I criticize them because they're a bunch of corrupt, incompetent clowns," and that's kind of the rhetoric he's been using since J-COPE was launched in 2011. But now he's on their radar, not in, I guess, a capacity that he would prefer to be. He's sort of on the target end of J-COPE. Can you explain what's going on?
He basically lost his job as the executive director of the Lobbying Commission in 2007. Elliot Spitzer, then the governor, combined ethics and lobbying into a single entity, which served to also get rid of Grandow, who could, you know, be obviously a pain to elected officials. So that might have been a reason for doing it. But since then, Grandow's basically gone to the other side and is essentially the defense lawyer for top Albany lobbying interests. So he's obviously paid a lot more money than he was in government, but is on the other side of things. And actually, I did an interview with him in 2014. When I was at a different publication in New York City, where he basically, the point of the article was that he was bragging about the fact that he was so able to hide the sources of lobbying spending from J-COPE and who was funding lobbying efforts. And so that's the exact kind of thing that's now gotten him into J-COPE's crosshairs, I guess, 8 years later. So,
well, yeah, what has he allegedly done that has prompted J-COPE to look into his activities?
So there was a group called Don't Bankrupt New York that spent about $850,000 on television ads in early 2021, basically urging people to contact their state senators and urge New York's government not to raise taxes. So what Grandow did, he's the attorney for this group, and the paperwork he submitted said that even though the group spent $850,000, it had not taken any donations over $2,500 for that spending, which seems on its face implausible. What Grandow says he did was take something that J-COPE wrote in regulations in 2019 called coalitions. It's a type of lobbying entity that you can create. And he says there was essentially a loophole that was created that allowed coalitions not to disclose who the members were or who the donors were because of the way that J-COPE potentially had unintentionally written these regulations. So J-COPE disagrees with his interpretation, is now going after Grandow and trying to fine him up to $4.2 million for not disclosing who was funding this group or who the other members of the group were besides Grandel himself and the consulting firm that produced the ads.
Is this case something that the Joint Commission on Public Ethics has proactively disclosed, announced in some of their meetings, or have you had to dig behind the scenes to find out that there's a case they're pursuing?
Well, Jacob, by law, can't discuss confidential investigations while they're ongoing. So no, nobody was able from the Jacob side to discuss this. As sometimes occurs, the person on the defense side will come to the media, and the person on the defense side, in this case, Grandel, was totally legally able to share with me everything that he had. He shared all his correspondence with Jacob. I think he tried for about a couple months to resolve this in a quieter way. And then once it became clear that wasn't going to happen, decided to come to the media. Like I said, I've known him for quite a while. In fact, the reason I got to know him in the first place was writing articles about his various clients who were hiding their lobbying spending, like a group called Pledge to Protect that did a similar kind of thing. And so that was how I got to know him. And then doing this interview about how he was not only acknowledging this, but basically boasting about the fact that he was able to do this. So I have a long history with him on these kinds of issues.
Well, for listeners who are just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Chris Bragg, the state investigative reporter for the Times Union. As I mentioned at the top of the interview, the Joint Commission on Public Ethics is not long for this world because it's going to be replaced by a new entity shortly as a result of action taken by the state legislature and Governor Kathy Hochul earlier in 2022. What does that mean for this effort? Is JCOP on a clock? Do they have to act before they're retired? Or could this case potentially survive and get taken up by the new entity that's going to replace JCOP?
So JCOP's going out of business on July 8th, so a little bit more than 2 weeks. It seems very unlikely that there's going to be any type of hearing held by JCOP on this before it goes out of business. That means that JCOP is just not going to be able to do it. However, there's at least one current JCOP commissioner who's been nominated to be on the new commission, Gary Levine, and a couple other current JCOP commissioners are wanting to be nominated. We'll see if they get confirmed by this vetting panel that's in place for the new commission, but some current JCOP staffers might stay on. So it's possible that there will be momentum to continue this on the new commission. It's not totally clear under the new law whether they would be required to take this up or if they would have just the option to do it. But this is one of a few cases where current matters will not be handled by JCOP, but will be taken up possibly by the new commission. Another is the case involving Andrew Cuomo and his book deal and whether the new commission is going to take that up.
Based on what you've reviewed about this case and understand about Albany politics, does this seem personally motivated, like there's some sort of animus towards David Grandel that's driving this particular investigation? Or does this case and everything that it represents seem to be emblematic of the work that JCOP has pursued over the last decade?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Grandel is very disliked among JCOP commissioners and staff. He's been so over the top in his criticism that it would be difficult for that not to be the case. And Grandel makes the point that a bunch of other coalitions that haven't disclosed their donors or their members are apparently not being targeted. Having said that, I don't know that other coalitions have spent this amount of money on lobbying. To me, as a reporter, somebody who, like I said, has written about these kinds of things, there is a public interest in lobbyists to disclosing who's funding their efforts. And then it gets into the technical legal matter of coalitions and what the exact interpretation of a coalition is. It's a little bit confusing. So I think you would really have to drill down onto that issue to decide if this was unfair or fair But generally speaking, I would say that there's a public interest in knowing this kind of information. It may be up ultimately to the courts to decide what happens here. If Jacob, or more likely the new commission, takes some sort of punitive action against Grandow, then he's going to file a lawsuit. And so there could be a lot more to come here.
And finally, do you have any big expectations for this new ethics watchdog incarnation that we're going to have some point in July? Or are you expecting more of the same in terms of its approach to keeping people accountable?
The debate about ethics commissions has been going on for decades. Since at least the 80s, there's been the allegation that ethics commissions have been too close to the politicians that they're supposed to regulate because the commissioners are appointed by those politicians. And that continues to be the case with this new body. And that's the way that the legislature, I assume, wanted it, and maybe even Governor Hochul, although she proposed something that was quite a bit more independent. There's a panel of law school deans that is a new thing that is going to be vetting the new commissioners. They seem to have some pretty stringent criteria for how they're going to do this vetting. On the other hand, it's difficult to ask a question on a vetting form that gets at whether somebody is going to be politically independent of somebody, to exactly drill down on that kind of relationship. There are certainly going to be things that are going to be different, like it's going to be easier to approve an investigation than the very Byzantine rules that govern Jacob. There could be some differences, but the biggest difference on its face is that Jacob was basically, even from a partisan standpoint, there were 7 Republicans and 7 Democratic commissioners appointed by various people. This panel of the 11 commissioners, currently 9 will be appointed by Democrats. So I think that will be the most interesting initial dynamic, is whether Republicans have something more to worry about now because of the partisan makeup of the commission.
Well, we've been speaking with Chris Bragg. He's the state investigative reporter for the Times Union. Chris, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.